Today we continue our theme of light and Jesus as light. And today we see that Jesus is the light of life. We've already made some connections between life and light. For example, last week in the description of God as the Father of light, in whom there is no shadow of turning and no darkness, we were reminded that God made the light, God is the source of light, and that light causes all things to grow. Today we find life in the Word. As John 1 says, it says, "The Word is Jesus Christ, and in Him is life." Jesus is life, and Jesus is light. Jesus is life because He gives Himself to us, and we receive His life. He is the light of life. Specifically, the life that Jesus gives us is eternal life. Our John 8 passage is the first time that Jesus called Himself the light of the world. We looked at Jesus as the light of the world on the second Sunday of Advent, and we looked at three other times that Jesus used this term for Himself. But here is the first time that He uses it. And He gives the implication of the statement. He says, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." This implication occurs in the present continuous tense, that following Jesus is a lifelong path. Whoever continues to follow me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. We looked at, on the second Sunday of Advent, when we said Jesus was the light of the world, that at any given moment we are in light or we are in darkness, and we are called to live always as children of light. And that's what Jesus says. Follow me. As long as you're following me, you will not be in the dark. So to stay in the light, we must continually follow Jesus. As Bob Utley writes, "It must be remembered that Christianity is not primarily a creed or theology. Rather, it is a personal relationship followed by a lifestyle of discipleship." In His high priestly prayer in John 17, Jesus defines eternal life for us. He says, "And this is life, eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is being in relationship with our triune God. There is no life apart from Jesus. In another of His I Am statements, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will never die." That's the implication of that. And then in the third I Am statement, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," or "I am the true living way. No one comes to the Father but by me." The Pharisees accused Jesus of blasphemy because He testifies about Himself. Jesus says that the Father is the other witness to His testimony. Matthew Henry points out that this is proof, another example of where we see Trinitarian theology in the Bible. The Holy Spirit isn't mentioned here, but it is clear that the Father and the Son are two separate persons because they count as two separate witnesses. And yet, they're fully unified in their testimony, in their power, and in their glory, showing that they are also one, just as John says in John chapter 1, "The Word was with God, the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God." Jesus says that to know Him is to know the Father, which again shows that they're also one. In both John 3 and in John 8, Jesus says that He came not to judge the world, but to give life to it and to save it. We also saw this a couple of weeks ago when we looked at Jesus as the light of the world in John chapter 12, where Jesus said, "I didn't come to condemn or judge anybody." In John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus that He doesn't need to judge because people are already standing in judgment. We stand in judgment without Christ. Christ is the one who saves us from judgment. And why do people already start out in a place of judgment? Because we already turned away from God. We love darkness more than the light, which we'll hear about more on Christmas Eve. Jesus says that people hide because they do evil things. They don't want to be seen in the light. They don't want to be exposed. We saw this 2 weeks ago when we looked at Ephesians chapter 5. People hide because they do evil things. They don't want to come into the light. They don't want to experience shame, and light causes shame. Exposure reveals our shame. But we also learn that because Christ died for our shame as well as for our sin, when we bring ourselves and our deeds into the light, our deeds are redeemed, and we can give thanks because we can see that all things are wrought through us by God. Light convicts us so that we can repent. We are redeemed, and we are able to live as children of light through the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says the same thing at the end of John chapter 3. He tells Nicodemus, "Whoever does truth comes to the light, that his or her deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God." In John 8, Jesus says that he doesn't judge anybody, even though he has the right to judge. He says, "Y'all judge by human standards." And you might think that he's going to say, "But I judge by God's standards." But that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, "Y'all judge by human standards, but I judge no one." Jesus could judge because he does judge by God's standards, but he chooses to judge no one. Our tendency is to judge by the things that we observe. That's how we judge by human standards. We look at what we see, and then we make assumptions about the things that we see. But Jesus sees our hearts, and Jesus sees our intentions. And even still, Jesus chooses not to judge us. Judgment is reserved for the last day, for Christ's second coming. But right now, there is no judgment. As Matthew Henry says, the first coming of Christ was for the purpose of administering not justice, but medicine. And this is why we still experience so much injustice in our world. God is reserving judgment for the last day. In the meantime, Jesus is still calling for people to follow him, the light of life. There is still opportunity for people to receive life. Jesus has done all he can to give us life. And yet we know that there are still people who like doing evil things. They don't want to stop, or they don't want to admit that what they're doing is really evil. They call evil good and good evil. Yet there is still hope for the vilest person if he or she is willing to come to the light. We can embrace light and life, or we can stay in darkness. We can follow light and receive light, or we can stay in darkness. Darkness is a condition that we're automatically in without the light of life. We embrace light and life by believing in Jesus, by putting our faith and our trust in him. Our 1 Thessalonians passage reiterates that we are sons of light because we have been changed by Jesus. We don't belong to the night or the darkness any longer. It has no ownership over us because instead we belong to Jesus Christ. As in the past 2 weeks, because we're children of light, we are exhorted to live as children of light and to live in the light. Here, the Apostle Paul emphasizes the characteristics of being alert and self-controlled. We've already looked at being gentle and being kind and being loving and being righteous. So here we see alertness and self-control. We are to be watchful and we are to be sober. Sobriety was a characteristic that we also saw last week in 1 Timothy chapter 6. We are to be watchful because Christ can return at any time. We are to be prepared at all times for his coming. See, the New Testament writers believed that the return of Christ was imminent. That means that they were expecting Jesus to return. Now, if they were expecting Jesus to return, and obviously Jesus hasn't returned yet, were the Bible writers wrong? And if they were wrong, then can we trust them about other things? Might they be wrong about something else? And if they're wrong about something else, then is the Bible really trustworthy? How can we trust the Bible if they expected Jesus to come back in their lifetime and Jesus hasn't come back yet? Well, I don't believe the Bible writers were wrong. We have to understand what it means that the coming of Christ is imminent. So imagine, here's a cliff. And instead of you think, if you walk toward the cliff, you can fall off. This is not what the Bible writers meant by imminent. Instead, imagine you're walking along the side of the cliff. Now, at any moment, the cliff could get away and you could fall off the cliff. So falling off the cliff is imminent. Not in the same way that you're walking toward it, but in the same way that you're walking beside it and it could collapse. This is how we have to look at the return of Christ. We're on the edge. Everything has happened that needs to happen for Christ to return. And any moment, Jesus could come back. We're right there. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it could happen at any time. So the Bible writers, in saying that the return of Christ could happen at any time, were not wrong in their thinking or in their writing. We have to be prepared. Every day should be one of Advent. This time of Advent is a time of preparation where we make ourselves ready for Christ's return. So we should live every day as if Jesus could return. When Jesus returns, that's it. Justice and judgment will come. So are you prepared for Christ's return? Are you following the light, or are you still walking in darkness? Does your life reflect the life of Christ in you? Can other people see Jesus in you? The one qualification that Jesus did before his return was to say that this gospel must be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end will come. So are we actively sharing the gospel and supporting those who share the gospel in places where we ourselves cannot go? In our 1 Thessalonians passage, Paul tells us also to put on the armor of God. It's a way of being prepared and to live as children of light. Here he tells us to put on the breastplate of faith and of love, and to put on the helmet of the hope of salvation. In Ephesians and other passages, the breastplate is called righteousness and faith is described as a shield. But either way you look at it, and Paul wrote both of those, strong faith is a good defense. And certainly love ought to be front and center of our lives. God, who is light, is also love. And love, of course, is our Advent word for the day. It's our fourth candle. Love should characterize our lives as well. It is because of God's love that God sent Jesus to us. That's what we heard in John 3:16. It is because of God's love that we receive life. We in turn love God and our neighbors because God first loved us. And our neighbors are those who are near to us, whether we consider them friends or foes. We are to love them all. The helmet is always described as salvation. And here is the hope of salvation, which protects us from despair, especially, we read in 1 Thessalonians 5, in regard to despair of death. We have a sure hope of life and life beyond death. Paul says that God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation. Christ died so that we might live. Our salvation means that we have fellowship with Christ in life and in death, which here is described as sleep, because we're still described as living beyond death. So death is just sleep. Orthodox Christianity calls the death of believers as blessed repose as we wait for the resurrection of the body. The hope of salvation reminds us whose we are. In life and in death, we belong to God. Jesus also wants us to be sure of our salvation. This is why John wrote his particular gospel. John said, I'm writing this gospel so that you know you have eternal life. He says it in John chapter 20. He says, there are so many more things that Jesus could have written about that Jesus said and did, but he chose these things in particular These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The helmet of the hope of salvation protects us when doubts start to assail us, when we start questioning, do I really belong to God or not? So do you have that hope of salvation? Are you wearing your helmet? Do you have assurance that you belong to Jesus Christ? Our response to Jesus determines our eternal destiny. So how do you respond to Jesus, the light of life? Will you walk in light, or will you live in darkness? Let us pray. Jesus, we thank you so much that you could condemn us and judge us, but you do not. You judge no one. And yet, at any moment, you could come back and that judgment day could happen. So, Lord, let us not put off the things today that you are calling us to do. Help us not to hide the light, but to live it and to tell others about it so that they can embrace life while there is still time. When you return, time will be no more. Thank you for giving us this grace. And thank you for giving us life, abundant life, eternal life, fellowship with you, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Thank you for empowering us to live as children of life. Help us to wear the armor of love and the hope of salvation so that all that we meet can see Jesus in us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.